Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and coming up later on this year, it's actually not that far away now. It's nice to think about it as we're here in the second half of January, but eventually March is going to be here with one of the premier events of the winter. Copper Dog 150 is coming back to the area, and here to talk about it is the race director for this year, Jeff Boss. So, Jeff, congratulations. You are now the race director in charge of things.
Thanks, I guess.
So a lot of things going on right now in what are your days filled up with, right now, 6 weeks away from the start of this race?
Meetings and more meetings. I was up in Copper Harbor talking with the DBA last night, and then talking about marketing earlier in the day, and then I got another meeting with our community coordinator later this evening, and then just trying to get all the marketing materials out, start getting posters and just getting the word out. We want people to show up and have fun.
What year of the race is this?
We're the ninth year now.
Okay. Yeah? Well, that's really amazing. So next year will be the 10th year, and talking with Todd Broussard, who was among those people that got this thing started, all those years ago. I think at the time it would have been amazing just to think that there might be a 10th anniversary of the race right down the corner, and it's managed to not only keep going, but it's grown over the years. And talking with the Mushers, they love this race.
Yeah, they do, absolutely. I just got a new one. I was talking to yesterday, new Musher, potential Musher, and he's like, yep, Copper Dog's the race to be. That's what I keep hearing. It's like, well, that's great news. Bring more people.
Sure. It takes place March 2nd through the 4th and starts up in Calumet. We'll go through the different legs of the race and also the shorter race as well. We'll talk about, because that seems to change, every year or every other year. There's different nuances when it comes to the shorter race. But start with the Mushers. Do you have any trouble getting Mushers to sign up for this?
That's funny you ask. Normally, no. This year, for whatever reason, the attendance is lower. We've got 12 people signed up for the long race, but I expect that to increase. A lot of the Mushers are trying to feel out how their kennel's doing, the health of their dogs, to make sure that they have a really good, healthy team to show up for the race. So whether they'll enter the 10-dog race or the 6-dog race is still to be determined by them. So they're kind of waiting just to feel it out.
That's one of the things you have to deal with, being, you're like the last race of the year, or one of the last races of the year.
Yeah.
So people, you're right. And also they want to see maybe how the weather's going to be.
Right. Well, usually we're doing pretty good. We've got snow more than anybody else. But the one thing we are with the last of the race is all these other dogs have been with each other, and so they may pick up some diseases from another kennel as well. That happened a few years ago, and they call it kennel cough, and then the dogs end up getting sick because they were associated with other dogs in previous races. So we had quite a few Mushers end up dropping out because they didn't have a healthy team.
What's the draw for Mushers to be taking part in this race?
What's the draw?
Yep.
The one thing we uniquely is about our race is that we are a stage race. Most of the other races around, Tequamanon's a day race. The UP 200 is more of a distance race. The Bear Grease is a distance race. But we're a three-day stage race, and that's very unique. I think we're the only stage race maybe in the Midwest. And it's kind of mimics after the stage stop out of Wyoming.
Everything starts in downtown Calumet, and talking to Mushers over the years, that's one of the things that they really enjoy is that downtown start, through the crowd to get that race started.
It's a great show. It's lined 5th Street full of speakers, and we turn it up and make it loud. And each Musher has their own theme music, basically, they start with, and they get it all geared up and they crank it up and the Mushers go. But yeah, thousands of people are lining that street. It's amazing. Some people say it's like, wow, this is like it used to be in the old days.
Right. Yeah. In the earlier years of doing the race, or at least, when I came on board, which would have been about 6-7 years ago, during the opening day, there were a lot more outdoor vendors, people selling food and drink and things like that. I understand that that's, the health department wanted to tie things down a little bit. It became a little bit more difficult for, local food vendors to be able to open up there, and that's why you saw that change.
Right. Yeah, I think we've got maybe one, and they do this, for a living, travel around and have a food cart. But there's so many great restaurants downtown. There's kind of no reason to have them. 5th Street's lined full of restaurants, and we've got Carmelita's nearby and Michigan House nearby. There's a fish and chips place that just moved in down at the end.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I had the fish and chips last weekend. They're delicious.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
And actually, last year for the Copper Dog, we went to Carmelita's after the race. So that's, you know,
excellent.
Part of what we do, too. So we recommend people to...
Yeah, Carmelita's is one of our trailblazers. There was 20 businesses that put up the money to get the first race going. And so they were one of them that helped get this race started. So, yeah, give them tons of support. Fifth and Elm's another one here in Houghton, so...
You mentioned that this is a stage race. What are the stages?
The stages. We start Friday night in Calumet. They race through the night, which is also unique. There's not many races that are in the evening time like that. And we go, the trail basically then heads down towards Gay. We follow the snowmobile trail and then up into Phoenix. And then the long race will finish in Eagle Harbor. And then day two, we start Saturday morning, and that's from Eagle Harbor to Copper Harbor. And then day three is Copper Harbor back to the finish in Calumet.
And all those openings are open to the public, too. And it's nice to see, you know, you don't get as many people that go to the Eagle Harbor start or the Copper Harbor start, but you do get a few. And it's nice to, you know, I know the mushers appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Copper Harbor's really been building up. They're getting a lot more spectators. Well, of course, it depends on the weather. One year it was really cold, and I don't think anybody wanted to be there.
Does make it hard. Everybody's freezing but the dogs.
I know. Happy. They're always happy. They're like, let's go. Let's do it again.
Yeah. I was talking to a musher one time and asking him about the cold, and he says, you know, out on the trails, that he doesn't feel it. So that's, you know, he said, just dress, get layered right up, and he's colder when he gets done and gets off the sled than when he's out there.
Yeah, those guys got some serious gear on for sure. They can handle, neg 60s easy. They're just bundled right up. A little bit of a gear envy sometimes.
do you ever do any mushing?
I've been once. Tom Bauer down in Tapiola, he invited me down to go ride with him. So I took some of the other trail crew guys, and it was fun. Just a hoot.
I was only on a sled one time, too, and it was pretty much just comparable to what the kids do. You know, there's already a musher, you get on there, and
right,
somebody else, but it was still pretty neat. You feel like a kid, there's just nothing like being pulled by a team of dogs. It's
right,
a lot of fun. Now, you went over the long race. Now, there's a shorter race, and like I said, it's sort of changed. It's, you know, how it formatted over the years. So what is it looking like right now?
Well, we started off years ago. It was the Copper Dog 35, and that ended in Vansville. But then Eagle River stepped up and wanted the race to come there. And so then it turned into the Copper Dog 40, and Eagle River throws a spread. I mean, they just have taken ownership of this one. And, you know, you go down there, and there's just an amazing amount of food. All the mushers stop there. Some of them, I think, would rather turn and go to Eagle River and finish instead of going to Eagle Harbor because of the food. But then what happens, we've turned it into a stage race now. So it's now called the Copper Dog 80. So we've got the first night is 40 miles, roughly, give or take, going into Eagle River. But then we give them a day of rest, and then they start on Sunday, and then they come from, they follow similar trail. We've cut off a few miles for them, but they start in Copper Harbor and come back to Calumet.
So everybody ends up with a Calumet finish on Sunday.
Yep. And then the one unique thing we did this year, it's been a 6-dog race. This year we've turned into what's called a 7-dog pool. So that way a musher has 7 dogs to choose from. That way they always got a nice, strong, healthy team to finish with on Sunday. It's a pretty long race for just 6 dogs. But with the 7-dog pool, they should finish much more stronger.
How many years have you done the Copper Dog 80 now? This is the second, you said?
3 years now. I think since 15, so this could be, probably a third year, maybe fourth. Third year.
So it makes it kind of closer to the Copper Dog 150 as far as, you know, because now it's a 2-stage race instead of a single night. And you said that you had a lot of people waiting to decide whether or not they were going to go to the shorter one or to the longer one, giving them choice. Are you seeing more people sign up for the shorter one than the longer one now?
No, not yet.
No? Okay.
No. Yeah, we're still looking for mushers. We're going to start calling and seeing where they're at. You know, mushing's pretty tough. It's not a cheap sport to be involved in. I mean, you really got to love your dogs, and they eat a lot. You know, they're athletes. They want to eat. You know, it's like having a bunch of male teenagers in the house and they just go to town. But all the work that they put into those dogs, it's just, and then the traveling and So we're seeing some sort of decline too in kennels even. You know, I hear stories, people like, I just sold my kennel last year. I sold it a couple years ago. But it's just one of those things. We just try to keep it going. As long as there's events for mushers to go to, then younger ones will come.
Yeah, you do get a number of younger ones. You even have teenagers in this race.
Yep, we had our youngest one last year. And I want to say she was 14. And she ran the 80 race with her father. So they both had a teams of dogs, and they ran right next to each other the whole race.
Wow.
They had so much fun. She had the hugest smile when she finished.
Yeah, that'd make a great story just in and of itself.
Right, exactly.
Besides needing mushers, what other needs do you have in order to pull this off? It's just 6 weeks away.
Oh, volunteers. We always need volunteers. It takes an army. You can sign up going to the CopperDog150.com site, and there's a button at the top on the menu that says volunteers, and you can log in. You can pick whatever position you want. We've got lots of them, and it shows maps of where you need to go and crossings and help setting up downtown, taking down, tearing apart downtown. But we can't do the race without our volunteers. It's just plain, that's just that simple. I mean, the community has really gotten behind it, and kind of like everybody's taking ownership of the race. So it's been kind of nice that way. Even the mushers take ownership of it. They're like, we love this race. And you'll be riding down the trail, and, you know, the mushers sometimes will stop and sit and talk to a group of people, you know.
Yeah. Don't just stop it during the race. I got to get back. The volunteers, if you haven't done a lot of volunteering, how do you know what to do?
Oh, we have volunteer training. I'm going to get this wrong. It's end of February, I believe the 24th. But you can go in, and it kind of shows you how to, if you're doing a crossing, how you react to the dogs. You don't want to jump in their face and startle them. You just stand still. And you create a barrier, and they won't go to it. I mean, even sometimes on the trail, we can just cut off branches and stick it in the snow, and the dogs will then not go that way. They'll make the turn instead. So things like that. It's a great event if you've never volunteered or have never been around dogs. I try to encourage everybody to go to it. It's just a couple hours. It's up at Calumet High School. Like I said, I'm going to get the date wrong, but it's from 10 to noon.
Okay. Well, where can they look up the information to get
all
it?
That on CopperDog150.com.
Okay.
Yep. That has everything.
Well, I know in the years that I've been involved with the CopperDog, not only do you do all the training needed, so when nobody's going to throw you into a situation that you're not comfortable with, if you don't want to work directly with dogs, there's plenty of other things you can do, and you don't have to volunteer for 3 days worth of work either. You know, you can be helping out with the setup or just at the start, or you could be doing a trail crossing.
Yep.
You don't have to do it alone. You can get, everybody at your workplace or your whole family. So if you have, like, say, you're working in an office and the whole group wants to do it, there's a lot of organizations, they do a particular trail crossing, and they do that same crossing every year. It's like their tradition.
Yeah, they'll bring the grills out and they make an event out of it. They usually have a fire going and grilling hot dogs or hamburgers, and it's people have really taken it as just being, they get excited about it every year. You know, it's me, even on the trail, we get tourists that come up every year. I find snowmobilers like, oh yeah, we come up every year to see it. We want to follow the race around, and where can we go watch the race?
How is the relationship with the snowmobilers and the
fantastic?
Okay, because you have to use the same trails, and in the snowmobiles, they have the right of way, so to speak. You know, they're snowmobile trails, they're not groomed to be, dog sledding trails.
We spent a lot of time and a lot of years advertising the race, handing out maps and information to, places where you rent snowmobilers, gas stations, hotels, just to let people know. What the race is, where it's going to be, the times it's going to be at, so they can kind of be on the lookout. It's really turned. At first, it was a little rough. You know, they're like, this is our trail. This is ours. But now, M&M Power Sports and Houghton Power Sports have all stepped up, and now they want us to take their sleds and use them for the Copper Dog because they just love what we do, and we have this great relationship with the snowmobilers.
Oh, pretty neat.
Yeah.
Going back to the volunteers, just to finish that up now, you also are, you know, you're known for taking care of the volunteers, the volunteer appreciation after it's all done. I know that, you know, that's really special for the, you know, those that are giving of their time, they're not being paid or just, you know, doing it to enjoy it and to support this great race. And then in turn, you guys give back a little bit with a nice dinner and stuff. And that's always been nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the old, like my grandmother always says, if you want to keep a good farmhand around, you make sure you get them fed and take care of them. And a little appreciation goes a long way. And, you know, like, we really can't do this race without our volunteers. So, I mean, they're the most important part of the race. Absolutely.
If somebody wants to volunteer, how do they do that?
Copperdog150.com.
All right. One stop for just about everything.
It's all there. If you want to sign up to race, you can sign up there too.
Continuing on with different needs that you may have, what about sponsorships and things? Are you still, if somebody wants to give you money, are you still accepting?
Oh, of course. Of course. I know. You know, we're not running around with a can right now. We've kind of closed off some of that. But yeah, if somebody comes by with a great idea and, you know, wants to help sponsor and donate, absolutely, we'll entertain them for sure and listen to those ideas.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, the year's coming too. If you want to get involved in the 10th anniversary, well, now would be a good time too. If you
right. Yeah, oh man. Yeah, why don't I get through this one first?
No, well, you know what they say, you start planning for the next one the day after this one's over. So
no. Yeah, like actually the customer appreciation events, I've never made one.
Oh.
Or the, excuse me, volunteer appreciations. Yeah, yeah. By that time I'm a little bit burned out. But this year I'll make an appearance.
I've always been impressed about the attention to safety and detail that your team and all those that have been involved with Copper Dog over the years have been. I've heard that from the mushers too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, accidents in this sport, they're rare, but they do happen, and they can be pretty awful, as there was one in the Upper Peninsula a few years ago. And fortunately, in the years that we've had the Copper Dog, there hasn't been anything like that. And that's partly because of the attention at the volunteer training and the responsibility that everybody takes upon themselves to make it a safe race.
Absolutely. We have all our emergency personnel throughout the Keweenaw are involved. At our major road crossings, we either have volunteer fire departments there with their trucks. They can stop traffic. We've got police out there, but each crossing's manned, you know, like especially anything over Highway 41, there's usually about 20 people there to make sure those dogs get across safely. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is really all on the musher for them to decide, and they're aware of that. I mean, they're used to mushing by themselves for the majority, and then, you know, for training and whatnot. But we always sit around and talk safety a lot. I sat and talked with our safety coordinator last week for 2 hours, and it's really a great conversation just to see what we can do to make it even safer. And just, there's always something missing. So it's always on the forefront of our mind, is just to make sure that it not only is safe for the mushers and for the dogs, but for the volunteers as well.
I know we try to talk it up as much as we can, especially in the days leading right up to the race, so that if you're driving around in the Keweenaw, you know, keep your eye open. You know, if you're going anywhere in northern Houghton County, that, you know, you're bound to run into one of these trail crossings if you're, you know, anywhere in the Calumet area and north. And, you know, you may be coming around the bend, and then, you know, not far up there's, you know, orange fencing and a bunch of people that are that are there trying to help dog sleds across. And of course, now they try to stop the dog sleds, allow the traffic go through. So it's just, we're just asking people to be cautious and be courteous. We don't want anybody getting into a wreck. We don't want anybody having to slam on their brakes or anything like that. So just slow down and you know, watch out for the volunteers that are there, that are at the crossings. They're not there to stop traffic.
No, road they traffic. Can't legally, they cannot stop traffic, but that's why we have the fire department or the police officers at some of those, so they can stop traffic and then allow our teams to go through. But most of them are at our major crossings, so they'd be on Highway 41, some on Lake Linden, Gay Road, and then Mohawk Gay Road, Lac La Belle Road, and then where else do we got them?
pretty much all over up
there. Yeah, Eagle Harbor Cutoff Road.
But now you don't do the Brockway Mountain leg anymore, right?
No, the logistics have gotten a little complicated with it. Now that the snowmobile trail runs along Highway 26, it's new landowners, and so they weren't able to go off of the highway. So we're thinking about it. I was up in Copper Harbor last night, and that was a conversation that was, you know, kind of got in depth of why we can't do that. But yeah, definitely for next year, we've got to figure that one out and get back over there. And it's been nice to take a break from it. It's, it's been really nice to change it up a little bit. But yeah, it's time to get back.
Yeah. I mean, also, since we're, you know, talking about different ways people can, I guess, if you're a spectator or participating, to help with the race and keep it from getting, I don't know, keep him from doing any harm to it. If you're going to come out to one of the starts or to one of the stops, leave your own dog at home. I've seen a number of people who bring their dogs out, and they think, hey, one, they just like to bring their dogs to any kind of outdoor event. But, you know, they think, oh, well, this is an event for dogs, and they'll, you know, they think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's not good for the mushing dogs at all.
No, they find it extremely distracting. We had one incident probably 4 or 5 years ago where a team actually was heading up to finish in Calumet, and I think saw some dogs down the road and turned and went down the side street. And I think that team ended up losing, and they were pretty close in the lead. And if they would have stayed on track, they probably would have won that race.
Oh my goodness. That happened. Yep. So there you have it, everybody. You know why that's important. And, the dogs, they don't understand why there's a dog not, you know, on a team, or, you know, even if the dog's not running loose, it just, you know, like you said, it's distracting, it's confusing, and then they start paying attention to the dog.
Don't feed them. Don't feed the dogs either.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good idea. Yeah.
And that's happened before. Some kids have thrown hot dogs, and it's kind of like, no.
No. Yeah. Now, if you are walking along where they're staging there, oftentimes if you walk up and you're friendly enough to the musher and they're open, they'll let you pet the dogs.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Some of them are so open for it. And that's for them. I think it's so they can show their dogs off and have people, you know, cuddle them and just take pictures. Yeah, some of them are, the mushers are fabulous about their dogs. They just want to show them off. They're so proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always do that. That's one of the highlights, going around petting the dogs and enjoying
so
that. Yeah, and then after the Friday night start, and after all the mushers have headed out, you guys do really one of the best fireworks displays anywhere. And the fact that it's during the wintertime and in the snow where everything lights up, it's an amazing show.
Yeah, you know, it is great. I think I've seen it once. Normally I'm out of there, you know, gone chasing this race around. But one year I did see it, and it's outstanding. McCabe puts on a huge spread. They donate a lot of the money for the fireworks. I was talking with Donnie Kelpie last night. He's like, yep, I'm going to go get the fireworks next week. So, yeah, they're all geared up for it. And then there's a downtown party. There's big wood burners with lots of wood and fire, and the Elks will be selling beer again down there. But yeah, it's kind of fun down there, that's for sure.
Now, the Saturday that's in between in Calumet, there's, you know, it's always been an effort to try, because you got that snow road downtown, mm-hmm. to try to keep people coming downtown for Calumet and enjoying it. Do you know what's on tap for this year?
Well, it's Saturday. We're going to do the dog sled races again.
Dog
house races again. Where you build a dog house and put it on skis out of cardboard, basically, and push your buddies around. Coppers in Hubble has offered to help get that event going, as well as Jerry Mitchell from Carmelitas, who's going to head up that event. But I think one of the ideas Coppers was looking for is trying to get some of the volunteer fire departments and have them compete down there and raise some money for a cause. But then I assume we're still working on all the logistics on it, but I think Copper Country Sports will be down there. You can test ride snow bikes and snowshoes and skis. They're going to do that again. And
those big fat tire bikes?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, hopefully we'll have a whole day of events. So we've got that snow road there. We might as well use it.
And up in Copper Harbor, when you have the Sunday start, in the past, on Saturday afternoon after the mushers arrive, they've had free sled dog races up there before. Still doing all
that. Yeah, okay. Yep, absolutely. And there's always music at the Pines, great food, and it's a festive atmosphere up there. It really is. I know all of us are always excited to get into Copper Harbor. It's just kind of like, all right, we're over halfway now. Kind of take a deep breath.
Well, yeah, you got a little ways to go here before you even get to the start of the race. Like I said, we're about 6 weeks out. Race 35 is
35 days.
Is that all it is?
35? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Less I try not to think weeks. About it, but
yeah. And when this program airs on Sunday, it's going to be even less than that. So March 2nd through the 4th, the start begins in downtown Calumet, goes to Eagle Harbor for the long one, and then up to Copper Harbor that Saturday, and then back down to Calumet on Sunday. And then the shorter one, the Copper Dog 80, is a two-stage race now going to Eagle River, then coming back on Sunday after basically a day of rest for those dogs. So come on out, cheer the mushers on, have a great time. If you need more information, copperdog150.com.
Yep.
So absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
No problem. All right, Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.